Hey everybody, I'm Doug and this is The Bottom Line. This week we're down in Miami Beach on Collins Avenue. We're going to talk to Captain Tony Estrada about a very serious issue with charter boats down here in Miami, illegal charters. Well, we're going to go find Tony, but first let me talk about our sponsors. We got Marine Data Solutions, as always, and we have Salty Rags Crew Apparel, as always. These guys are the good guys. Mention the show, they'll hook you up. Please go check them out. So now let's go find Tony. Tony.
Captain Doug, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Better?
A little better. All right, show me around. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Here we are with Tony Estrada, Captain Tony Estrada. Now, you've changed your uniforms. Is this the tank top's really it?
A little better for you, Doug?
Okay, well, for me, it's better. Maybe the girls, not so much. We're here talking to Captain Tony, who, by the way, has a long history in Miami, and he also runs a group called...
Captains on Call.
Captains on Call is just a group for captains to kind of coordinate the stuff that goes on in the charter boat industry in Miami. It's a really good group. Now, what we're going to talk about is the bad guys, the illegal charters that are going on in Miami. Tony's pulling his hair out. He had a lot more hair before.
Just yesterday.
Okay. So, Tony, give me a typical example of what an illegal charter is doing down here.
There's actually a number of examples now of illegal charters, and it just stems from doing one wrong thing. There's seven simple rules that we need to follow as bareboat charters, and people seem to want to skirt.
Let's tell everybody what a bareboat charter is.
So a bareboat charter was originally designed for people who own a boat such as this and don't live locally. And they want to charter out their boat because keeping a boat like this here is going to cost them $8,000-$9,000 a month.
Offset expenses?
Exactly. And okay. So by offsetting expenses, putting the boat in a company name, they can now write off certain things. And there's certain advantages as an owner they can now enjoy and still keep their boat, use it as freely
as
they want.
So you're talking about occasionally letting the boat go out, make some extra money.
Correct. Because these are what are called a recreational charter, and these are recreational vessels. Regardless if you have a $6 million azimuth or if you have a $500,000.
How many people can you carry on this recreational bareboat?
By recreational standards, you can have a total of 13 people who are not crew. Now, what that is written out as is 12 plus one, because it's 12 guests plus the person chartering the boat.
So this boat could carry 13?
Correct, plus crew.
Okay, if it was a commercial Coast Guard endorsed operation, how many could it carry?
As many as it's rated for.
Let's just say it was not certified.
If there's certain laws that will allow it, if it is over 99 gross tons, I believe, you can now have 12 passengers.
Over 99?
Correct.
So having the bareboat gets you more people on board?
It will get you more people, but being an uninspected vessel, yes.
So they're taking a recreational boat and throwing it into hardcore service day in, day out.
Correct, around the clock.
How's that working out?
Some of the boats we're starting to notice that we show up and there's more and more problems with them because they're not being maintained correctly, and that becomes an issue for captains and crew, not to the point where in most cases it's something that becomes a life or death issue, but there's still issues that you wouldn't like to see as a captain or crew on a boat.
Okay, but bareboat charter or demise charter agreement is a Jones Act situation where they were allowing freighters to come into the U.S. that were not U.S. built to operate, to go to ply what they call coastwise trade. But it seems to me like these guys are kind of manipulating that rule quite a bit to go out 2, 3, 4 times a day on a boat that was never designed to do that.
Correct.
Okay. We'll get back to that in a second.
And that's very specific why there are the limitations of 13. We were told by the authorities very specifically they don't want more than 13 people on a boat that can do 30 plus miles an hour.
You've been in contact with the Coast Guard numerous times to make sure you are in compliance with
Correct.
Your operation. And I applaud you for that because you probably lose a lot of business trying to
on
be
a consistent
legal.
Basis, correct.
You're being legal, you lose a lot of business. So let's talk about the illegal guys. So you got a whole bunch of kids, and I've seen the videos, twerking their asses off on these little, you know, these little Sea Rays or whatever. Okay, so they're staying in a hotel. How do they get on the boat? Who's doing the deal?
So what happened during COVID is everything down here in Miami shut down.
Okay.
And at that point, all of the promoters that were walking out, handing their flyers out.
Who's a promoter?
Clubs, well, the promoters that were promoting the nightclubs.
Nightclubs.
Correct. They always had a little, shall we call it, side hustle, where they knew a captain, they knew a boat, and their guests periodically ask them, hey, do you know a boat?
They became charter brokers.
Correct. Instantly when all of these clubs closed down.
So the guy that's promoting a band now is pushing a 70-foot yacht because he knows everything there is to know about
yachts.
Correct.
And that's where we run into some discrepancies with the promoters who don't have a firm grasp on what the rules and regulations are.
These are not even real charter agents. These are guys that are flash. You see the videos. They rent a Lamborghini for the day. Come call me. Then they call. I know you don't get involved with these guys. But then they're like, $4,000, give me the boat. Then they call you and they say, $3,000, give me the boat. All right? So they're charging the client $4,000. They're charging you, or they're going to pay you or the owner of the boat $3,000, take another 20% commission off of that. They're collecting the charter tip for the crew. Sometimes they're even throwing their people on board, which is illegal, of course.
And sometimes even paying the crew themselves, which is, once again, not legal.
And then when it's all said and done, guys like you that are trying to do a legitimate business, hey, the guy just left said he left me a huge tip. Where is it? And what are these guys doing with the tip? Gone? They didn't leave a tip?
What do you mean?
So they pocket that. They're taking money out of your pocket. They're taking money out of the owner's pocket. They're promoting a boat that they have no clue what the hell they're talking about. And then they just disappear in the night. That's it.
Now, I would say for the most part, there are some people that are actually really trying to do the right thing as well. So I don't want to necessarily say Doug.
Yeah, let me clarify this. There are legitimate charter companies in Miami and Fort Lauderdale. 100% legitimate. We're talking about the guys that work out of their car.
Correct.
We're talking about the guys that are the valets, the concierge guys going, I can get you on a boat, and they do this hustle, this Miami hustle.
Or start buying a boat themselves, thinking that they're now going to turn this into a business because they've seen how it transpired.
Do you need a license to run a bare boat?
At this point, a bare boat charter does not require a license.
So you've got these guys that are putting people on charter boats. They're saying, bring as many people as you want. They might be a valet. They might be working out of their car. Then they hire someone who's not licensed to run that boat. I'm going to give you an example. Miami Vice over at Monument Island. The owner hired an unlicensed captain. He started the engines up while the boat was on the beach, like some big 80-footer.
Boat.
Those surface-piercing props chewed that guy up dead. What did the captain do? He fled to the airport. They caught him. Okay? That is a classic example of what's going on down in Miami. And I think that was a turning point for the Coast Guard.
Correct.
Okay. So, Golden Touch 2, 147 mega yacht. They go out for like almost $200,000 a week. They got shut down. They had 47 people on board. 47. And the owner was on board, which is illegal. And what were they telling the guests when the Coast Guard was pulling up?
You're all my friends.
We're all friends. That's how they're getting around it. Okay? Yeah. Coast Guard comes, we're all just a bunch of buddies. What's your last name? I don't know. Where are you from? I don't know. We're all our friends. Let's talk about another boat. See You Twerk. Now, wait. See You Twerk. Twerking seems to be a Miami charter boat thing. So, you are driving a boat and you have all these girls twerking as they're driving. That's the thing. But some guy named a boat See You Twerk. Tell me a little bit about that operation.
That operation was run by some nightclub owners who wanted to have as many girls as possible.
We're back to the nightclub scene.
Correct.
Okay.
And
so he bought the boat.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had left the boat because I had actually worked on that a few times.
You were actually working on it.
I did. Before the fact that I knew that they were actually receiving money. And after that, they did get in trouble not once but twice. And during the course of the time, the owner of the boat was given order to not be on the docks as a part of his probation terms for, I believe, 2 years.
So, See You Twerk would tell customers, you're just my buddy. Complete illegal operation. Back to the nightclubs, really. I see a pattern here. And then here's how it got caught. Now, Tony wasn't on board for this. Tony, you left when you started seeing things go a little crazy.
The last time that they had gotten in trouble, from what I understand, the Coast Guard ran a sting, and they had actually heard them on the phone stating that you could just tell them that you're my friend.
On the mic, the undercover Coast Guard officers were recording.
Correct.
And they recorded, hey, you're just our friends. Golden Touch 2, the big 147, also had undercover Coast Guard charter guests. And after the Coast Guard left, they started the party up again. One thing that I'm seeing is these guys get busted, and then next week they're out again. Why is it not? Is it just a slap on the wrist?
Because they have a port order to stand down from running charters, but
right.
That's from running a commercial charter, which they've been written up for.
So they can go.
They can still run as a bare boat if they have all their paperwork in order.
So Miami is absolutely crazy. We have nightclub people trying to book boats, taking money out of the owner's pocket, taking money out of the crew's pocket from tips, doing things completely illegally, and they just brush it off and they keep going.
What I'd like to really say more than anything, they've lowered the cost of the industry so much that at the end of the day, at the end of the quarter, the owners can't really keep up with all the maintenance.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, Tony.
Yeah.
Okay, you're one of the good guys, all right? And you're trying to make a living. This is your job. And there's a lot of captains in your group. Now, I got to tell you right now, I take note. Stewardesses on these things are making $400 and then a tip. A stewardess with very little experience could walk off a boat after 4 hours with $700-$800.
That'd be a little bit high. But
what are we talking? Five, six?
Anywhere from, say, 3 to 4 for a 4 hour.
Okay, plus tip?
Yeah, but typically you're going to have an 8 hour day. You'll have a back to back charter.
So you
$700-$800 is not an unheard of day.
So you got crew with no experience on these illegal charters making $800 a day. And that's.
Also on the legal ones, though.
What's that?
On the legal ones as well.
Well, and then captains, I know captains that just jump into this industry down here in Miami, they're making $100,000 a year easily. The money's here. Okay, the problem is you guys are trying to do this legitimately, and then these illegal operations, which are rampant, I'm sorry, for every legal operation, there's got to be 5 illegal ones, are running numbers down, so you can't make a living. You can't get the charter. So, Tony, to be a completely legal charter in Miami, you would have to have a licensed captain, trained crew, full-time, on a boat under 100 gross tons, you can only carry 6 people. On a boat over, you can carry 12. But the problem is, this is why we have illegal charters. Because you have 2 identical boats. Come charter me. I'm Coast Guard compliant, but I can only carry 6. Come charter him. I can carry 13, and I'm going to do it cheaper. Is that true?
It's true, but the biggest problem is you're taking a boat that's not commercially rated and you're treating it as such. And therefore, you're compromising the integrity of the boat, the safety of everybody down the road.
Tony,
you keep running these boats.
Okay, let's be serious.
Yeah.
A 45-foot Sea Ray or whatever was never designed to be out 2 times a day, carrying people, operating as a commercial operator. It was just never designed to do that.
No.
It's kind of like it's... People have put these boats, people have bought these boats, and people are running these boats, and they consider it a career, when the fact of the matter is...
Should have never been.
So, what can we do as captains? Is there anything we can do to fix this?
We can start educating the newer owners, the new boat owners, mm-hmm. who are choosing to bring their boats to the charter scene. How it's done correctly. Because honestly, all the boats that are working, these Sea Rays that work day in and day out, they're going to fade out within 6 months. You can only run those so many times before you run the business into the ground.
Yeah, but guess what? Everybody's making tons of money in that 6 months, including the nightclub owner who's booking it.
The nightclub broker's the one who's making the most money. The owners are the ones
The Coast Guard patrols the water. They're not going to go on land and attack these illegal charter guys that are right in the country.
They just started.
What?
They just started.
I hope they do.
So that's hopefully the direction they're taking. They've actually been writing up boats in Miami now for not having a business tax ID specifically for Miami. So it was something they hadn't
done.
Wait,
so they don't have a business license when they operate out of the back of their car and on their phone?
It's a license that a lot of people had applied for, but the city, from what I understood, let it slide. And they've not been saying anything until now.
So,
because they're trying to, I'm sorry, I didn't mean.
No. How easy is it to be a charter broker in South Beach? I'm gonna tell you how easy it is. If you have an iPhone, you start up a website for $30. Then you go online and you pick boats that you have no affiliation with whatsoever, and you post pictures with rates.
Instagram,
and then you start taking photos of girls jumping all around in bikinis. And guess what? In 24 hours, you're a charter broker. And guess what? These are the charter brokers who don't care about guys like you. They don't care about signing contracts. Oh, just sign this. They don't care. They're just taking the money. They're taking money, more money from the owners than a legitimate charter broker would. They're taking money out of your pocket through tips and paying you less than they collect. And then they're gone. Thank God the Coast Guard is starting to move on shore and fix this.
As much as it's hurting our business, it's also in the long run going to help our business.
How's it going to help our business?
It's going to help our business by having people who understand the industry represent the industry.
Now, Tony, you haven't been a captain for very long, but I follow you and you know your stuff. Okay, sometimes when you're driving a boat with your shirt on, I'm like, really? When I drive a boat...
You don't recognize me with that.
Well, when I drive a boat, I'm in epaulettes, we have radios, but we're a different operation. But I get it. You're in Miami, and guess what? That sells charters for you. Do what you got to do. But my point is, a lot of people follow you. Would you be the type of person, or would you be the person to start a Miami Charter Boat Association to legitimately create a nonprofit organization like New York has? New York has a charter boat association. And if you had a bareboat charter in New York, they'll shut you down tomorrow. But you have enough of a following and you have enough of a presence and you are local that if you started a legitimate agency or association, that when you have enough members, the Coast Guard will listen to you. Is that anything that you've ever thought about doing?
I'll be honest, no. How's it sound? Caught me off guard with that.
Okay, how's it sound?
Oh, honestly, on paper, it sounds great right now.
Because organizations that need to make change, you need power. And when you need power, you need people standing behind you. And you have enough legitimate captains, it will take a hit. You might lose some of the boats, but the boats that stay and the captains will get the work. And like you said, eventually it will benefit you. But you, if you had a real powerful maritime organization of Miami charter boat captains, and then you could legitimately go to the Coast Guard and go, we're the good guys, stop boarding us. Here's our sticker, COC membership, whatever. If you see this sticker on the boat, you know we're the good guys. Would that help you?
I don't know if they would necessarily be able to endorse as a federal entity.
They do. Okay. There's a charter boat association. I've looked it up. There's one in Virginia. There's one in New York. You look it up. The Charter Boat Association has something like 200 or 300,000 members across the United States, and they lobby in Washington. Plaques you see in the marinas, check to see if the guy's got a captain. Check to see if there's a certificate of inspection. That's not the Coast Guard. That's the Charter Boat Association. They lobbied for that. I'm not saying you're going to have 200,000 members, but every little bit makes a difference. I'm not kidding. I should sincerely think about that. If you need help, I'll help you.
Well, Doug, then I guess it's going to be you and I doing this.
Well, I think you're the man to do it. You're the man on the ground. Think about it a little bit more. I think we've covered everything. Tony, it was great. Absolutely awesome interview.
We really appreciate
it. I have a real problem with illegal charters. I'm ex-Coast Guard, as we all know. I have a real problem. People are dying. In the past year, 3 people have died on illegal charter boats. One guy got run over, as we talked about. 2 more, one person fell in. And then, get this, the charter broker who was actually on the illegal charter jumped in to save the passenger that fell overboard, and he drowned too. 3 deaths. People are dying. People are using boats that were never designed. never designed to be doing what they're doing, and they're taking untrained crew out that are trying to make a fast buck. You don't even need a license. You're taking 13 people out on a $300,000, $500,000 boat, taking their lives in your hands, and guys don't even need, they don't even have a license. Okay, so that's a lot of information to think about. It really needs to be brought to light because it's like the wild goddamn West down here. Guys like Tony are trying to legitimize it. So anybody out there who's thinking of chartering a boat, do your homework, okay? Check out the boat, check out the whole operation. Stay away from these fly-by-night things. So what do you think about that, you know, getting that whole organization together?
Well, only if I'm president.
No. I got to be president.
That's it, Doug. Arm wrestle for it.
Arm wrestle? All right. Here we go. Okay. Guess what, Tony? You can still be president. He'll still be president. Listen, that's the bottom line. I know it's a lot to think about, but it's a real problem down here. You've got to figure out between the legitimate and the illegitimate operations. Everybody, please stay safe out there, especially during spring break. I'm Doug. This is Tony. And that's the bottom line. We'll see you next week.